The Astros continue to get ready for the 2019 campaign. General manager Jeff Luhnow made headlines yesterday saying that the Astros nearly traded for Bryce Harper last year around the trade deadline. He also said he's feeling good about where the Astros roster is at. Here he is.
Right now, we've got a really good roster. Most of the projection systems have us winning our division pretty comfortably. So there's not a huge sense of urgency or huge gap in our roster right now that we need to address. The best thing that can happen for our team is for our guys to be healthy and for some of our young players, especially our young pitchers, to show what they can do here. You know how exciting the group is as a whole. Every time one of these prospect lists comes out, we have 5, 6, 7, 8 guys on it. And all those guys are here at camp, so they all have a chance to make this big league club. So
there I'm you go for the necessary. Most part. The audio quality is not exactly great. And
it's too much baseball going on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sound of hope, buddy.
It's not quite like if you go to a basketball arena or something like that. But, how many baseball reporters use some microphones? No big deal. Anyway, here's my question. Considering that Dallas Keuchel and Marwin Gonzalez aren't on the roster, and the uncertainty in the rotation after Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole, and the bullpen, which is still the bullpen no matter how you want to frame it, I don't want to hear this. I want more. I want some more players. I want some reinforcements. I want Dallas Keuchel back. I want Marwin Gonzalez back.
I respectfully completely disagree.
Oh, come on, Mike. Why do you hate championships so much?
I'll tell you why. Number one, this is a negotiating ploy. Jeff Luhnow's not going to stand there at the Palm of Spring Beaches or whatever and stand there and be like, hey,
why aren't you here?
I'm desperate to add a reliever or a catcher or a starting pitcher.
We got to get Marwin back here.
You don't
Winning is in his name.
You don't want to go into a negotiation saying, I am completely desperate for what you were selling me, number one. Number two, I will argue right now that the uncertainty with some of the spots on the team, the starting rotation, maybe the back end of the bullpen, the other spots like Kemp, Tyler White, what he provides, is actually a reason not to make a move right now. They're at the point where they've assembled their team for the beginning of April, for the beginning of the season. They want to see what they have. So you can start the season, and let's say Josh James wins the fifth spot in the rotation, as I think he will, and he pitches really well for the first half of the season. That gives you more good information moving forward. I argue that the uncertainty with some of the things that are going on, Colin McHugh, how is he going to be, Brad Peacock, that it is an argument to actually not make a move right now and to see what you have.
You're that confident in Josh James all of a sudden?
I'm confident.
I'm confident with him as long as we go the Tampa route and bring a reliever in to start off the inning. Josh James gets himself into pickles quick.
I'm optimistic about Josh James, but I'm not feeling good about Josh James. I feel optimistic about Forrest Whitley, but
right.
I'm not feeling good about Forrest Whitley.
You don't feel like rock solid. Why would you?
I think of Framber Valdez, and I don't know what to make of him. I think of Roberto Osuna, and I don't know what to make of him. There are a lot of pitchers on this staff that could be upgraded. That lineup's going to be very good, Marwin Gonzalez or no Marwin Gonzalez. Yeah, there's some holes, but I feel that the big question is pitching and in the bullpen, and come on, get somebody in there right now. Keuchel's the main one I'm looking at.
Well, you feel good about Josh James, Mike, but how much better would you feel about Dallas Keuchel?
I feel good.
You'd feel 400,000 times better.
But to be clear, none of us are worried that if Jeff is presented with a good opportunity that he would not take it. You are?
None of these teams are spending any money on anybody.
I am
worried about that.
But what I'm saying is if Keuchel walked in today and said, hey, I'm willing to play for you for a year and $5 million, they'll obviously let him play for the team.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Please wake me up when that happens. Alert me. Wake me up with a cattle prod.
But my point is, I would only be worried about a GM saying that if I'm worried about the GM not making moves. With this GM, I'm not worried about him not making moves.
I mean, he did essentially humble brag about a trade that didn't happen last
year. Yeah, we had like Bryce Harper all lined up, but whatevs. We got right. I was tired.
Right. I hear that, and I'm like, why don't you sweeten the offer a little bit for those Washington Nationals to get Bryce Harper in the fold and to have one of the best players in baseball, even if he is maybe a little inconsistent.
Marwin Gonzalez was the first move that Jeff Luhnow ever made, Mike. There's a good chance. I'd say a better than 90% chance that Marwin Gonzalez was actually like a supernatural lucky rabbit's foot for Jeff Luhnow, and now everything's going to suck now that he's not on the team.
He needs some back.
You mark my words. If there are two big notable injuries during spring training, it's all because of the absence of Marwin Gonzalez. They need to bring him back.
I have an idea to get Dallas Keuchel back, first off, a lifetime gift card to Walgreens, where I saw Matt last Saturday.
That's
and
right.
on top of that, maybe a lifetime gift card to Concrete Cowboy, where I see Matt from time to time.
Okay.
You watch out at the Concrete Cowboy, by the way. Just keep your head on a swivel.
You got to keep your head on a swivel.
Isn't that where...
Yeah, that is. That is where the incident took place, ass-biting gate. Never mind. I'm talking about something else entirely different.
All right.
Hey, Indians pitcher and Houston enemy slash native slash someone who maybe would bite somebody in the keister, Trevor Bauer, won his arbitration yesterday, but only after he calls character assassination by the Cleveland Indians, where he says, Bauer, they spent the last 10 minutes of the case trying a character assassination. I learned that giving to charity is a bad thing. God, he's so melodramatic. Basically, that I'm a terrible human being, which was interesting on their part. I thought that giving to charity, especially because they didn't mention it, was it a charitable campaign. He had a thing where he, over 69 days, gave $100,000 out. I can understand why.
Yeah, he ended up doing 60. He stopped short of 69. It was a classic Tyler Bauer thing to do.
They just tried to say I was bad for donating and running that campaign.
Yeah.
I'm actually really amused that they used this in an arbitration argument, and I think it kind of makes sense. Trevor Bauer is the classic example of the annoying kid in your class who is always agitating and bothering the teacher, but he's really, really smart. He is just every emblem of that kid.
But he's also that kid that, like, specifically wants to agitate you, but then when you get agitated, he gets personally sensitive and
upset.
Of course,
yes.
You're like, oh, I didn't realize you thought I was an agitating person. That's like, in a nutshell, this is Tyler Bauer's complaint here. I am a really weird dude, and they brought it up. That's his complaint.
Yes.
I'm a really weird dude, they brought it up. And by the way, the Concrete Cowboy was where Roger Clemens' son was... allegedly assaulted by bouncers there. Yeah. I can't remember what came of the. I think it's an ongoing.
I'll just leave it at I'm not exactly the biggest fan of the bouncers there myself.
The suit, it was Casey Clemens, the first baseman in the Blues organization, and his friend are named as plaintiffs in the lawsuit, according to Houston Chronicle. The suit alleges both men were physically assaulted by an employee of the Concrete Cowboy. I've been to the Concrete Cowboy several times. I never felt at risk. Yeah.
Interesting.
I was with you once.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were. That's right. Yeah.
We were there together. Our friend, our listener, Alan Hundley.
Yes. Yeah, we had a good time.
He tries to troll us anonymously on the text line, but I'm on
to him. We know who he is. We're on to him.
Yeah. Bauer's an incredibly annoying a-hole, but look, if at the trade deadline, this guy is someone who maybe has a burned bridge with the Cleveland Indians and the Indians stink this season, I would definitely make a phone call to Cleveland. The last thing, yesterday, AAFL co-founder Bill Pullian said the league reached out to Colin Kaepernick to see about playing. Barry Wilner of the Associated Press reported that Kaepernick asked for $20 million to play, which is significantly more than the three-year non-guaranteed contract that each player gets worth $250,000.
Okay, so your question is, who looks bad here? And my answer to that question is Kaepernick looks bad if the story is true. The AAF is associated with the NFL, and you're looking at a situation where these guys are making basically 70, 80 grand a year or whatever to play in these leagues. Kaepernick, according to the story, asking for $20 million. That makes Kaepernick look bad if it is true, and I have doubts as to whether he actually asked for $20 million.
Did he ask for $20 million, and would you hate the effort if he did? I personally, all politics aside, I respect the chutzpah to say, well, yeah, I'll come play in your little fledgling league, who at the time, let's remember this, at the time, who knows what the hell the AAF was going to be. I think all of us were way more skeptical 2 weeks ago than we were after the first week of play. You didn't know if this was going to be an absolute clown show.
Look at what this league has turned into.
Look at the, you remember back in the infancy? Has there been a 30 for 30 yet about the AAF? What if I told you that a ragtag group of ne'er-do-wells,
what a league,
misfits, and never-hads all got together and played in Birmingham, San Diego, San Antonio, all the sands.
Kaepernick is like that guy who like sold his Apple stock in like the late 1980s. That's what he is. Like, he missed such a huge opportunity in this wildly successful AAF.
There's somebody out there this morning like, can you believe Kaepernick had a chance to be a part of the Magic? This is Birmingham Sports Radio this morning.
Yes. Of this league.
Well, let me tell you, what do you guys want to talk about? You're saving awesome, right? Yeah, okay. Oh, that's what I thought. Me too. I thought he was awesome too. Now, how about this?
Powell!
can you believe this dullard Kaepernick missed out on the chance to be part of the majesty of the Birmingham Iron?
The Birmingham Iron!
Who's the Birmingham Iron's quarterback?
Is that Luis Perez?
Frankie Valli.
No, is that Hackenberg? Where'd Hackenberg play?
Hackenberg's in Memphis.
Memphis.
I believe it's Luis Perez.
Horatio Kane.
Coming up at the top of the hour. Okay. I do not want the Texans to go after Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, but I will tell you what the best argument is to go after Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell at 7 o'clock. Time now on a Friday for Positive Paul.
A little update on a little television show called Just Saying on Cube 57, your home for Houston Dynamo Soccer and the Houston Sabercats rugby program. It is now Fridays at 10:30.
Okay.
So you can catch it. You
Fridays 10:30.
All the hot takes. And yeah, we shoot at the Rustic every single Thursday at about 11:30, noon or so, if you want to come out, ask us questions and things of that nature. Okay, so I saw an interview that Charles Barkley did on late night television with Jimmy Kimmel, and I, again, am like so many of these big time stars, because Charles Barkley, he saw our Lord, our Savior, Tom Brady, and he reacted like any mortal should.
But then I made a mistake, Jimmy.
What?
I looked Tom Brady in the eyes.
It's all right. You cast a spell.
All right. I'm looking at these guys, and all of a sudden I look at Gronk, and then Tom Brady's like right here, and I look him in the eyes, and I said, "Damn, you a pretty man." That's what I was thinking to myself, and I got so embarrassed I started turning my head to talk to him.
That was like when Landry met Tim Tebow for the first time.
Yes.
He didn't think he was good looking, but he wanted to hate Tim Tebow, and then he met him, and like Tim Tebow, like his aura and spirit and like the power of the Lord washed over him.
Right into your eyeballs.
Landry basically got baptized by Tim Tebow without him laying a hand on him.
He was touched by his presence.
Yeah.
So we had a conversation about this yesterday, and Mike, I know your answer is Trent Dilfer, but who is the most handsome man that you have ever seen in person, Seth? And have you ever like looked at somebody and you're like, I gotta look away. I'm uncomfortable with how handsome this person is.
That's a really good question. It's hard because I get to look at myself in the mirror every day. let me think.
How about Rob Johnson? Rob Johnson?
Rob was chiseled and kind of had like that California look about him, but I wouldn't necessarily say he was like objectively good looking like some of these male model types or whatever. You know what? And you know me, I'm the first one. I'm the last guy to like be like, oh, I can't tell which guys are good looking. I'm having a hard one with that. I'm going to tell you, I've met a lot of good looking men in my time, and it's hard to say. Like a lot of times,
I'm a brag.
Yeah. So many men. I don't know. Let me think on that.
I don't want to sound too much like Rich Lord here, but I have not taken an inventory of the handsome men I've seen in my life, other than Trent Dilfer.
Travis Johnson, I remember, met Ronaldo, the first one. Not the current one, but the one from back in the early 2000s.
Legend.
The really good
Brazil.
Right?
Striker, Ronaldo.
So the first one. But every time I say that, some 20-year-old soccer dude is like, no, Seth, it's Ronaldinho. No, Ronaldo, from the first time around.
Yes, the Brazilian legend.
Travis Johnson, they were practicing at Reliant at the time, and Travis Johnson met him after a game, and Travis was like taken aback in terms of just like, this guy had just come off of a 2-hour practice, and Travis couldn't get over how good he smelled. Like, he was like, and then you shake his hand, and it's like shaking hands with like baby skin. Like, this guy was just like perfectly immaculate after stepping off the practice
That's
field.
Funny.
It's ridiculous.
I have a friend who played college basketball at Texas A&M, and this guy is the most handsome mother bleeper I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We go to a bar, and if he's out and he is single, the women just flock to him, and all of a sudden he'll have like 7 or 8 around him. He does nothing. He just stands there and does nothing.
You know what? That's
I'm so envious of him.
It's interesting. That's what my brother was like back in the day. My brother's kind of like Alec Baldwin. Like, he's, as he's gotten older, he's still a good looking guy, but he's like, he's put on his 40s weight and everything. So he's not the same thing he was when he was in his 20s. Like, when we were in my 20s, my brother looked like, had like chiseled face and all that. And he would walk into a bar, and it was like you could watch the head swivel.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
See, the one good thing about it.
And then you realize, like, I'm a cast-off guy now. I'm just, like, hoping for cast-offs.
And that's the funny thing is that we always used to joke about this. So whenever he would come into the bar, we were like, okay, so there will be opportunities for people that are disappointed, you know, the people that are let down on The Bachelorette. or excuse me, on The Bachelor.
No, you know you have to find, or that's where you need to go after, like, the depressed, angsty one, the angst-ridden one, the ones who are like, I hate that guy just because of everything he is. And that's where you sidle in, and you're like, have you read many books on philosophy lately? Yeah. And then she's all about Paul Gallant, deep-thinking Paul Gallant.
Speaking of people who are like Tom Brady and perhaps make you swoon when you see them, Justin Verlander is a lot more like Tom Brady than you might think. We heard Alex Bregman talk about how on the podcast that he was on, Going Deep with Chad and JT. Well, here's Justin Verlander yesterday talking about his career goals.
I feel good. I think I'm taking the proper steps to prepare myself to pitch and continue to pitch at a high level. Hopefully till 45. I think looking at the long term, I think you can start to make adjustments now to prepare yourself for that. And the steps that I've gone through in the last 4 or 5 years to kind of transform my body and get back to being healthy, I think are what's going to allow me to knock on wood, stay healthy, and continue to thrive late in my 30s, early 40s.
Yeah, early 40s, Justin Verlander. Extend him now. He's got the key to a long career, being married to a supermodel. Let's go.
This, everybody says 45, and a lot of that's based on Nolan Ryan, because he played until he was 45, and Tom House is the guy that works with Tom Brady. So Brady and Verlander have both said age 45. I feel like, why is nobody just shooting for the stars and saying 50 here? I think secretly 50. They are. And I also think this, much like in video games sometimes, once you reach a certain level, all of a sudden you get extra powers. I think we need to institute a rule, like legislate this. This needs to be an actual U.S. law. If you are a productive player at the age of 45, you're allowed to use steroids. Once you get to 45, you know what? Roid up. Roid up all you want. And like realistically, just testosterone replacement. Like not crazy roid, but just take testosterone replacement because you're 45 years old. It's going to decline at that point.
And we want to see their greatness continue.
But you got to get to 45 naturally. No hint of any PEDs. Once you get to 45, juice up.
I love Justin Verlander, and I would love to keep him here as long as possible. My only hesitation is I have no idea what it's going to cost. Because the baseball owners aren't really spending a lot of money this offseason. I don't know what the going rate's going to be. I don't know if he's willing to extend his contract right now.
He can take a discount. I don't know how much Kate Upton still makes. Probably not to the same degree that Gisele Bündchen does. But, you know, you got the supermodel on the side. Hey, Kate Upton, how about you make it easier for the Houston Astros and start making millions and millions of dollars again?
I feel like Kate Upton will have more staying power, like, over the course of her career. She would be, like, the difference between, like, an athlete that comes in and makes a huge amount of money over 8 years versus like a very like above average but nothing sensational guy that plays for 20 years. I feel like Kate Upton's appeal goes far beyond just like how good she looks in clothes when she's modeling. So I think she'll she's got a name that's different than
And she got she has a girl next door quality to her in a way.
None of the girls I live next door to, but yeah,
understood. Coming up at the top of the hour.
I don't know, that should be more of an insult than it is. Like when some girl here is like, oh, she's like the girl next door. I think guys are usually meaning that in a good way. They're like, really? Girl next door? It's like, this is your random.
Where do you live?
Like you walk out front to get the paper and this is what you're seeing every day?
Walk out of my robe.
Yeah.